You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is Good Morning Liberty.
Well, what is going on, all of our liberty-loving friends? Welcome back to another fantastic episode of Good Morning Liberty. I'm one of the hosts here, Charles Jack Thompson. With me, as always, the man who knows just about everything there is to know, but not everything, Nathaniel Paul.
How's it going today, man?
Well.
I appreciate you having me over here.
It's a new day.
Yeah, I'm just hitting buttons over here.
It's a new dawn. You could see the cameras.
I know. In the actual thing. What's up? This is Nate and Chuck with Good Morning Liberty. We talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to.
And in the pre-show, we talked about how many times Nate has been to jail.
Which is zero.
Yeah.
And how many times Charlie has been to jail.
Which is not zero.
It's non-zero figure.
But you would know how many times unless you were part of the Fed Haters Club.
You would have to join to figure that out. And from now on, you're going to miss that information. We're never going to tell you about either of the times you went to jail.
Nope, not going to say it.
Neither one of them. Okay, so we got some stuff to talk about. We do have a little bit of a shorter episode because we had some business to attend to before starting a little bit later than we planned on starting today. And so we're pretty much only going to get to one subject, and it's a subject that I hardly care anything about. It's not called White Pill Wednesday. New year, same problems, I guess, and we're not going to talk about good stuff today.
New year, who dis?
Yeah, we're going to talk about this thing that everyone's upset about right now online. If you're a race grifter, you're super upset about this online right now. And that's the news that we broke yesterday, on yesterday's show, about Claudine Gay resigning forcefully. I mean, she was forced out. She resigned from Harvard. I just want to clarify. I don't know if you're the same as me, Charlie.
So we're talking about more gay stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Specifically gay episode.
It's been a lot of gay talk on
the whole thing.
Good Morning Liberty lately.
Yeah. Her last name is Gay. And so we'll be talking about that. I wanted to tell you, I don't care about Harvard whatsoever. I don't care who's running Harvard. I don't care if Harvard burns to the ground tomorrow.
Are you inciting something there?
I couldn't care. No. I'm saying that I just couldn't care less about these higher institutions other than the fact that they're destroying the fabric of our society. But I would like to see them continue to run themselves into the ground. I've said numerous times, if the government wants to take over something, please start with the college system because it needs to be destroyed. And the best way to do that would be to have the government come in and try to take over all of it. And I think the country would be better off after that. I really do. We have some trade schools pop up for very specific things that you go to school for. You want to be a nurse, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a truck driver, whatever, you go to your trade school and you forget these dumb A universities that people are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to. Mm-hmm. All right.
Now they've done some good things. I'll be the devil's advocate here.
Have they? I mean, good people went to some of them, but they probably still would have been good people if they went to a different university.
Yeah, some of the education, at least, it used to be known for decent.
I mean, some of the richest people in society are people who quit going to Harvard. You know, like they were going there and they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then they became like the richest people in America afterwards. So you tell me what the evidence is.
You talk about Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's others, I'm sure. Yeah. Bill Gates went to Harvard, I think. I don't know if he finished Harvard. I haven't looked at his transcripts or anything, counted up his credit hours or anything. But I think he went to Harvard. I'm not sure. Okay. We'll start off with a quote from someone who went to Harvard. Speaking of.
Yeah. Is this guy any good? Is this guy any good, Nate?
I don't think it's because he went to Harvard. I think it's despite the fact that he went to Harvard. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Thomas Sowell said when people.
Probably still paying off his loans. Yeah, that's. How old is he now? He's like 80.
No, he's like 92 or something. Yeah. Wow. He's up there, way up there. He said when people get used to preferential treatment, equal treatment seems like discrimination. And that will be a very good basis for starting this here episode.
My man, 93.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Whew. He did an interview on Ben Shapiro's podcast last month or the month before, something like that. It wasn't a video interview or anything, but he's done a couple recently. Did one for his new book, I saw. So here's the story. And here's how the story is being talked about in the media from the Associated Press. Harvard president's resignation highlights new conservative weapon against colleges. Plagiarism. This is a newfangled conservative white supremacist racist weapon against college. Plagiarism.
Plagiarism.
All right. Now, luckily, this article right here got a community note. This is all dumb bleep, by the way. That's not what today is, but this is going to be a submission for sure, all this stuff. Luckily, there was a community note on here and said plagiarism is a breach of the rules for Harvard University.
Their own rules.
They have rules against it. Not put in place by conservatives, I don't think. Claudine Gay was ultimately forced to resign for a series of breaches of this policy, and plagiarism or application of the rules around plagiarism, therefore, cannot be considered a weapon. It's just the rules.
And I wonder how many people she signed off on of being kicked out of Harvard for plagiarism.
I would assume that there are some.
Yeah.
I would assume there are some. Now, someone that we know, Hannah Cox, did call this a witch hunt, and she was fine with the person being like, with Gay being let go and all that. But she said, yeah, I mean, this was a witch hunt. They looked up the plagiarism because of the politics of the situation with Israel and Hamas and that congressional hearing and all that stuff. Maybe that's true, but I don't think it's the first time in history that people have dug into someone's past to see if they violated any codes of conduct.
And this is why when Jordan Peterson says you don't ever get away with anything.
Yeah.
Eventually these skeletons grow legs.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And they're conservative legs.
Now I wasn't going to read this article. The headline was enough, but I am so glad I read to paragraph 5 in the article. No, the paragraph 4 in the article. Here are the first three. The downfall of Harvard's president has elevated the threat of unearthing plagiarism, a cardinal sin in academia, as a possible new weapon in conservative attacks on higher education. So it can't even just be about the fact that she clearly was lying about this being her material. Mm-hmm. And now plagiarism, I don't know how some libertarians feel about that. Some libertarians don't care about, you know, copyright protection and patents and things like that. Can you just straight, is plagiarism a thing in libertarian philosophy? Maybe not for some people. I think there's something wrong with copying someone else's material and passing it off as your own, especially when you're in academia and you're the president of the most prestigious university in the country, maybe the world.
To get your PhD.
So
to be called a doctor, to falsely present yourself as something that you're not.
Mm-hmm. Claudine Gay's resignation Tuesday followed weeks of mounting accusations that she lifted language from other scholars in her doctoral dissertation and journal articles. They're not just accusations. Like it was, it happened. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. The allegations surfaced amid backlash over her congressional testimony about anti-Semitism on campus. Now, this is something I go back and forth in. Colleges do have rules about speech on their campuses. And they were having these protests. Protests, I think, are fine. I guess, although a lot of times you're impeding other students' ability to walk to other classes. Maybe you're threatening other students. That's not a good thing. I don't like that. Maybe you're making them feel like they're not safe. Sometimes you make them feel like they're not safe because you say you don't like taxes. And sometimes you make them feel like they're not safe because you say you want them dead.
Mm.
You know, there's different ways of making people not feel safe. Yeah. And this was a lot of the latter that was going on.
I want to respond to the Fed Haters Club real quick. We have a question here. We don't see the similarities to property rights. Here on Good Morning Liberty, we do. So Nate and I actually agree on patents and copyrighted material.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of libertarians don't. They believe in like the free intellectual property that once you put it out into the market, anybody can take it. And that's the free market.
Yeah.
Whereas I disagree because you own yourself. You own your thoughts. Like you should be able to copyright your thoughts. Now, of course, Nate and I might be biased because we come from the music industry and other places where we have failed to properly monetize those intellectual creative thoughts. Not entirely. I mean, success. No, I mean,
there was monetizing that happened.
Yeah. But so I think it is a derivative of property rights. I think it is a basic right that you have, that you own yourself. So therefore you own your thoughts and someone else shouldn't be able to pass it off at their own, as their own.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Harvard agrees.
They do.
In their own rules, they say that you can't pass someone else's work off as your own.
Well, especially when you're presenting yourself as an intellectual who has these amazing thoughts and opinions on something, and it turns out you're just copy-pasting someone else's material, it means you're presenting yourself as someone that you're not mm-hmm. when you do that. And so therefore you don't have whatever qualification you're trying to convey by giving them this dissertation. You copied it from someone else. So you're not real.
Yeah.
You know, the plagiarism allegations.
Well,
came-
and the thing is, so the thing is, there's also this saying there's nothing new under the sun or whatever. So what, and I keep bringing up Jordan Peterson, but I think he does a really good job of explaining that these aren't my ideas. And he says that. It's like, this isn't a new idea. This isn't my idea. I'm just articulating it differently, which more people seem to understand than they did previously. So the problem is if you look at the texts, she literally used like the exact words.
Word for word.
Like exact sentences and exact paragraphs. Now, how she had been influenced by that work, she could have put in her own words what that influence was on her new or on her philosophy or as a thought leader or whatever. That would be fine. To be influenced is fine. But to take someone's exact words, the way they structure the sentence and pass it off as your own, that's plagiarism. And that is wrong and against. And it, so for me, a lot of libertarians will disagree with me. However, I think that is wrong. That's stealing.
Yeah.
We should believe in not hurting people and not taking their stuff. To me, that's taking their stuff.
It kind of is taking someone's stuff.
Kind of.
Yeah.
No, it is.
Now, we're talking a lot about plagiarism. The plagiarism thing is not under dispute. This happened. The reason that she's out, though, Charlie, is because she's Black. So we don't lose sight of the real reason that she got let go.
Well, and the conservative weapon.
Yeah. Yeah. The plagiarism allegations came not from her academic peers, but her political foes led by conservatives who sought to oust Gay. Now, this is a bad thing because the people that she works with or her academic peers in her little academic community are not the ones who came after her for the plagiarism. It was conservatives like Christopher Rufo who did the digging and found out that she was actually plagiarizing, which makes this a bad thing. And I just, let's hold that standard to anyone else who has dirt dug up on them. If it doesn't come from their coworkers, then it's a bad thing to bring it up. Put her career under intense scrutiny in hopes of finding the fatal flaw. Her detractors charged at Gay, who has a PhD in government, was a professor at Harvard and Stanford and headed Harvard's largest division before being promoted, got the top job in large part because she is a Black woman.
WOC.
Now, I looked around for conclusive evidence that Harvard decided they were going to hire a black woman president, because we've heard of this happening. This is a thing that happens. People will say that they're going to find a black person to fulfill a specific job. So I was looking around.
Like the vice president?
Yeah, I brought that in. I was looking around and I couldn't find specific evidence that they said the next president of Harvard is going to be a black woman, gay. Didn't find that. So I'm not going to say conclusively that she is a diversity hire, because I'm not going to pretend like I know every other person who could have been hired for that job. And I went through all their specifications and I found out that they just hired her because she's a black woman. But they probably hired her because she's a black woman.
Yeah. There's a chance.
There's a chance, at least. You can't say that that's not the case. And in fact, we live in a society where people will specifically come out and say, we're going to hire someone that is black to fulfill this specific quota.
Well, and they thought that she had decent qualifications.
Yeah, yeah.
PhD in government. You know, she knows her stuff.
And that's, so here's another problem with the DEI thing, is when you are going out there and you're saying, we're going to hire this person because we're black. Well, you get a lot of people that end up getting the job because they're black or because they're a black woman or whatever. That can actually do a disservice to all of the people who get hired because of their merit, because of their qualifications. There could be a lot of black people out there that get hired because they were the best person for the job. But when you live in a society where you have a lot of people who are getting picked specifically because of their race or because of their gender, that does a disservice to all of the people who actually did earn the job, because now people can look at them and assume, well, you just got this job because there's this movement around the country telling people to hire people that look like you. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually a bad thing that people should think about. Now let's get to why I actually included this. Christopher Rufo, a conservative activist who helped orchestrate the effort, celebrated her departure as a win in his campaign against the elite institutions of higher education. On X, he wrote, "Scalped, as if gay was a trophy of violence, invoking a gruesome practice taken up by white colonists who sought to eradicate Native Americans." I just want to clarify that scalping was a practice used by colonizers to get rid of Native Americans. Mm. So it was, in fact, you look at things like the, you know, maybe the 1619 Project could tell you that that's when scalping was brought to the Americas. Right. You know, it's just not something that happened before that. It was these white people that did the scalping. I wanted to know about scalping a little bit, so.
Yeah, I mean. Native Americans never scalped Americans.
No, it was the white people.
That was a white people thing.
Now, I didn't realize that people were actually paid for heads, and they found that scalps were easier to bring than heads, and so they would bring scalps, easier to carry. You can pack more of them in your satchel, you know.
Yeah.
Efficiency. The people were worried about being efficient back then.
And scalp trappers.
Exactly. And there were actually colonists that were paying for the scalps of people. Okay. But that's not where it started. Okay. Just like slavery didn't start in 1619 or whatever it was, that's not where scalping started either. Intertribal conflict. There's a substantial archaeological evidence of scalping in North America in the pre-Columbian era. Carbon dating of skulls.
Now, pre-Columbian area means before Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492.
Carbon dating of skulls show evidence of scalping as early as 600 AD. Some skulls show evidence of healing from scalping injuries, suggesting at least some victims occasionally survived. Among Plains Indians, it seemed to have been practiced primarily as a part of intertribal warfare. I thought these were peaceful individuals who just lived on their plots of land and there was never any war and no suffering.
Just cared about the environment.
Yeah. Seemed to have been practiced primarily as a part of intertribal warfare, with scalps only taken of enemies killed in battle, however, which they only had those battles because of capitalism. Mm-hmm. However, author and historian wrote, although military historians tend to reserve the concept of total war in which civilians are targeted for conflicts between modern nations, the term closely approaches the state of affairs between Pawnees, the Sioux, the Cheyennes. However you say, non-combatants were legitimate targets. Instead of taking of a scalp of a woman or child was considered honorable because it signified that the scalp taker had dared to enter the very heart of the enemy's territory. Mm. Okay, anyway, that all goes to say that I can't believe the Associated Press tried to say that scalping was something that white people brought to America.
To eradicate
to get rid of Native Americans. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was a whole tangent right there that took us away from gay.
Look, many tribes of Native Americans practiced scalping in some instances up until the end of the 19th century. Of the approximately 500 bodies at the Crow Creek Massacre site, 90% of the skulls show evidence of scalping. The event took place circa 1325. European colonization of the Americas increased the incidence of intertribal conflict and consequently an increase of the prevalence of scalping. That's what happened.
There you go.
When the white people showed up, they had to scalp more.
Yeah, that's what it was.
The white people forced them to.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
Scalp and demand. Ibram X. Kendi, replying to this Associated Press article that we just went through, says, "This is journalism. Getting closer to what truly happened and why." They say the plagiarism allegations came not from her academic peers who chose to look the other way because she was a black woman, but her political foes, led by conservatives who sought to oust Gay and put her career under intense scrutiny in hopes of finding the fatal flaw. So that was his comment on the article that we just looked at. Don't worry, we'll have more Ibram X. Kendi coming up here in a bit. Okay, there's Gay right there. Here's what she had to say. Charlie, this is an important paragraph because it seems like the last two words focus the blame on something specifically. Go ahead.
Not her actions. So these are the words of Gay. These are gay words.
Yeah.
Okay. "It is a singular honor to be a member of this university, which has been my home and my inspiration for most of my professional career." Did she write this? "My deep sense of connection to Harvard and its people has made it all the more painful to witness the tensions and divisions that have riven our community in recent months, weakening the bonds of trust and reciprocity that should be our sources of strength and support in times of crisis." But you did.
Yeah.
"Amidst all of this, it has been distressing to have doubt cast on my commitments to confronting hate and to upholding scholarly rigor, two bedrock values that are fundamental to who I am, is it?" And how can you be like, how can you be caught? It's so narcissistic. Like you're caught red-handed. Like they have you on video. You know, like there's video evidence of you like committing the
crime. They've actually got a written confession in this case.
And you're like, yeah, literally. And you're like, no, that's not who I am.
No, that's not me.
I mean, I may have done that.
Multiple times.
It's not who I am.
Over and over again.
"And frightening to be subjected to personal attacks and threats fueled by racial animus."
Now,
it's all because she's black.
Mm-hmm. There could be personal attacks and threats that are fueled by racial animus. I'm not going to deny that that's the case. There's a reference from Harvard to, I think, emails and phone calls. Now, this one, I actually wanted to point out Christopher Rufo saying something dumb because he says the Harvard Corporation has published this ridiculous statement accusing Gay's critics of racism. Okay, so he says this is ridiculous and they have accused Gay's critics of racism. You tell me if this is what they did in this statement. Are they accusing Gay's critics of racism? They say, "While President Gay has acknowledged missteps and has taken responsibility for them, it's also true that she has shown remarkable resilience in the face of deeply personal and sustained attacks. While some of this has played out in the public domain, much of it has taken the form of repugnant and in some cases racist vitriol directed at her through disgraceful emails and phone calls. We condemn such attacks in the strongest possible terms." Now, is that Harvard accusing Gay's critics of racism?
No, it's just saying that it seems that there are disgraceful emails and phone calls.
Yeah.
And personal attacks.
Okay, so this is one of the things I've been talking about.
Which, by the way, if you're on Twitter, the people are absolutely terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there still are, like, racist people who probably emailed or called her.
I don't see what's so wrong about hating naysayers. you know,
yeah,
no one likes a naysayer saying terrible stuff, no. You know, bringing the mood down. Mm-hmm. So
you gotta let the naysayers know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them. Mm-hmm. Sorry. No, this is Rufo doing something I see a lot on Twitter. He's saying that they published a statement and accused the critics of something that's not what the statement says at all. He's decided to take a statement that someone said and then put something he knows is going to get a lot of retweets on it and then put it out there. But that's not what they said. That, like, you can use your best judgment on these things and know when someone's making something up to get clicks and to get interactions, or when they're actually right about something. And there are plenty of instances of someone blaming racism when they actually just did something wrong and they're just using the race card. Or this is Harvard saying that she has received many disgraceful and repugnant emails and phone calls that were racist. You think that's not true? Really? I mean, come on. I guarantee you it's true. Mm. Guarantee you it is. I haven't seen them, but I guarantee you it's true. So just don't say dumb stuff. Mark Lamont Hill, one of our favorites, says that this is one of the problems here. And this is one of the reasons that people will look at Claudine Gay and say, well, you're a diversity hire. You're hired because you're black. You're hired because you're a woman. Because here now already are actual calls for the next president of Harvard to be a black woman. Mm. I would want, if I cared at all about Harvard's future, I would want the next president to be the best person that could usher Harvard in to the new era and have the best and brightest young students and young minds that went out into the world and created the best future for the rest of humanity for all time. But instead, you say it's got to be a black woman.
Yeah.
And so then if something happens with the next president, let's say the next president is a black woman.
What if he said the next president of Harvard University must be a black woman who doesn't plagiarize?
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Got close. Yeah. No, but this is why people,
if it's a black woman who is the best person to run Harvard University, then great.
Sure. If that's, you know, the best person.
I don't care if they're black or Asian, Mexican. It don't matter.
As long as they're not white.
They could be white.
Here's a quote from the current president of the United States, who says, I commit that if I'm elected president and I have the opportunity to appoint someone to the courts, I'll appoint the first black woman to the court. If I'm elected president, my cabinet and my administration will look like the country. And I commit that I will, in fact, pick a woman to be vice president. There are a number of women who are qualified to be president tomorrow. I would pick a woman to my vice president, to be my vice president. And so there he is narrowing down the fields down to a black woman for the Supreme Court. Now, if you say Ketanji Brown Jackson was picked because she's a black woman, well, that's racist for you to say that, even though the person who picked her literally said, I'm going to pick a black woman, which means you're not going to consider the entire available field of options for the Supreme Court. You're going to narrow it down to someone who is a black woman and then pick whoever has the most political clout out of that group.
Yeah.
And nominate them.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then the same thing for picking a woman to be vice president. Was that the best choice? Because the vice president point is for when Joe Biden kicks the bucket, you know, and has an untimely, although at this point, I think it would be a timely death. You'd want the best person suited to be president at that time. And you say, I'm going to pick a woman. We'll even narrow down the candidate field by half and said, I'm not just going to pick the best person. It's got to be a woman. And then whoever put the most people in prison for marijuana possession, that's the person I'm going to pick to do that.
Kamala.
Okay.
Oh, Mother Jones.
Mother Jones. What about this headline or this description?
Gay's resignation exposes a larger trend of racial regression that picked up in the years following the 2020 uprisings, as black leaders have been installed in positions of power only to find themselves undermined by the systems they sought to save. That's the problem, is they were put in positions of power not based on whether or not they have the accolades to support that position, but just because of race.
I love how they say the 2020 uprisings. could have said riots or whatever, yeah. But yeah, following the 2020 riots,
burning of buildings.
Yeah. Everyone decided that they should pick a black person as a form of insurance to not get their shit burned down, you know, stuff burned down.
Mm-hmm.
So black leaders have been installed in positions of power, finding themselves undermined by the systems they sought to save. She
undermined herself.
She literally committed something that would get you kicked out of the university, okay?
If you were a student.
If you were a student.
Not just running it.
Okay, then we get to some of the more fun responses to this. A whole lot of dumb bleep on this. Someone says affirmative action hires don't work, and Jamel Hill says,
when white people are hired in any position, the automatic assumption is that they were the best person. When black people are hired, it's assumed we got there because of affirmative action, which, by the way, doesn't mean underqualified. If affirmative action never existed, a lot of white people would still believe deeply in their own superiority because that is what they have been taught. Considering that there have been 30 presidents at Harvard and Claudine Gay was the only black one in history, she had to be extremely qualified to even be in that position. But don't let me interfere with your racism. Go off. Yeah.
So the beginning of this, I think, is the interesting part. When white people are higher than any position, the automatic assumption is that they were the best person. Maybe. Could also assume that they knew someone.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good one too. But there's
their,
not...
Their daddy was an important person.
But they're... In 2023... Or even in 2020, or even in 2015 or 2010, there's not this movement to literally pick someone because they are white. There is no one out there who could ever keep a job saying, we are specifically only going to look at white people to fill this position. Now, there are people out there who say, we are only specifically going to look at black people to fill this position. And so when you live in that world, yes, it will lead to assumptions that the white person must have been good enough for the job and the black person must have gotten there because they said they were going to pick a black person. That is not always the case. Like I said earlier, that does a disservice to people who can actually get to that point on their merits,
mm-hmm.
because you can make that assumption that that's why they got there. But yeah, that's why you end up with this system. That's why affirmative action is a bad thing. That's why DEI is a bad thing. It should all just be based on merits, but these people want to live, they want to keep living in the past because it allows them to keep being a victim and allows them to keep having a sense of power. Like she says, speaking of living in the past, Jamel Hill continues on later on, says white folks have spent centuries rigging the game so that they don't have to compete with everybody and now want to have a conversation about merit. To be judged on merit is all black people have ever wanted. It's white people who didn't. It's 2024 now, yeah. Not 2023. It's 2024 right now. Now, you can either say white folks spent centuries rigging the game. Is that true? Yeah. It's kind of true. I mean, literally, people were slaves, mm-hmm. you know, and then there were laws, you know, as keeping black people out. So, yeah, okay. Is that where we live right now?
No.
Could we just have a merit-based system? Because she says to be judged on merit is all black people have ever wanted. She's literally arguing that that's not what she wants. She's literally saying that since white people rigged the game for centuries, that black people should rig the game.
Yeah.
And that that's the right thing to do. But then she says black people want to be judged on merit. Nope. Not some people. That's literally not what you're arguing. Literally just arguing for affirmative action. So no, it's not.
They want it both.
Yeah.
They want both ways.
Like if you don't get in on the merit, then okay, well, let's do affirmative action then.
Right.
Instead. going along with what she just said, another quote from a Harvard grad.
Oh, here we go.
Thomas Sowell.
Racism is not dead, but it is on life support. Kept alive by politicians, race hustlers, and people who get a sense of superiority by denouncing others as racists.
True. That's a true thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what she was just saying. I mean, I keep saying it's 2024, and I'm saying that for a reason. That's not the world we live in right now. We could choose to not rig the system for any color of person And I think we would have a pretty good merit-based system out there. Doesn't mean that there wouldn't be some racists out there, white or black, that there would be some racists out there that would pick people on the basis of their skin color. But we live in a society right now that's not a predominantly, massively racist society that's going to hold a specific group of people down unless they're white. Like, that's where we are right now.
I mean, look at my thing is look at sports. You want to look at the best
merit,
the best meritocracy there is, I think, would be sports. The best athletes get the best contracts.
Yeah.
And they perform the best and they get the best accolades. It's all merit based. You know, and
I think, can't even be good enough. They still get called slaves.
Yeah.
Millionaire slaves out there.
And when you're not good enough to be a quarterback for a team, that's what it is. Slavery.
Nicole Hannah Jones says, let's be real. This is an extension of what happened to me at UNC. let's be real. This is about me.
Yeah, this is about me. Yeah.
I know there's something going on with Claudine Gay right now, but don't forget about me.
She's getting all the attention right now, but folks, do you remember what happened to me?
What happened to her at UNC was originally UNC declined to give her a tenured position. They instead offered her a five-year deal of being a professor, but not a tenured position. And tenure basically means you can't be fired. Well, at this time, she was going through a little bit of controversy over the fact that she just straight up made a bunch of stuff up on her 1619 project thing. And I think the university was saying, well, we don't really want to hire you as someone that we can't fire because we have no clue what dumb A thing you're going to do next. And we don't want you to be in a position that we can't get rid of you. Mm-hmm. And of course, that was probably because of racism or something like that. She then says, academic freedom is under attack.
The freedom to steal other people's work is under attack, folks.
Racial justice programs are under attack. Black women will be made to pay for what? Our so-called allies too often lack any real courage. I don't know what she's even going on about right now. The important part is that this is an extension of what happened to her at USC.
Yeah, that's the... Let's be real.
That's what she wants everyone to know. This person who got a lot of retweets and whatever, Black Girl in Maine is her handle, if you want to go find her.
She says, white institutions will only allow you to lead if you play by their rules. The same rules that this person was enforcing that have been part of Harvard's rules like since inception.
Mm-hmm. Not since the movie came out, but since they started at Harvard. Guarantee you there's been rules about it.
If you don't, they will either pull their support and leave you out to dry or pull their money, ensuring your failure. Yeah, like just because you're in a position like as president of a university doesn't mean you get to walk around campus just murdering people. You know?
You got to play by the white man's rules.
You got to play. It doesn't mean... like... you get into a leadership role and then like you can't be ousted for anything.
Mm-mm.
You know? Meanwhile, your mental, emotional, and physical health suffers under the weight.
The weight of not being able to steal other people's stuff and having to play by the same rules that everyone else at the university has to play by. That is a heavy burden for Black women to bear. It just is.
The lack of accountability is just what really irks me the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have so much respect for Claudine Gay if she came out and was like, I don't deserve this position because I did plagiarize. That was a mistake I made during my PhD. I messed up. If I could go back and change it, I would. I don't deserve this position. I'm going to make better decisions in the future. God, she would have my whole, I would hope she gets to be president again one day.
Let her keep the position in that case. So she gives that apology out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Be like, I want to redo my dissertation or whatever the case is, you know, maybe she loses her job because you still suffer consequences for your actions, but
she's suffering a lot. She still gets her $900,000 a year salary, by the way.
Oh man. T-dang it.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Like if you take accountability, then people can be on your side. Like, look, we're all human. We've all made mistakes. I can't say that I've never plagiarized anything. I probably have in my time.
Yeah.
I know I cheated in chemistry in high school. That's for mm-hmm. sure. And that was wrong. And I shouldn't have done that.
I got in trouble for plagiarism in college.
Yeah.
Almost got kicked out.
Right. But if somebody, if you lose a job or you lose something because you did something.
It was
something
a long
like
time
that,
ago before I was a libertarian, okay?
But the difference
this
is
my first college.
The difference is being able to take accountability for that and be like, that was wrong. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have done that. But we're like, look, we're all humans. We all make mistakes. We all, and the problem I have with this is these people, their egos are so big. They have such a superiority complex that when they're ousted for something they actually did, they can't handle it. They can't handle admitting that they were wrong. And so everybody looks, they look down. So it's almost as if they're looking down on everyone else. As if like they're someone who never makes mistakes, and how dare you call them out because that's not who they are. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. That's not who I am. The bedrock of who I am is an honest person. Well, no, it's not, Claudine.
Your actions speak louder than words.
As much of a liar as everyone else in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We've all lied. We've all made mistakes. We all in the future will make mistakes. We're human. The difference is being able to take accountability for that and saying I was wrong. I messed up. I shouldn't have done it. I don't deserve this job. I'm going to go fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the ethical thing. I'm going to do the moral thing. That's completely gone from our society. I think it's one of the probably the biggest downfalls of our culture, which then obviously bleeds into politics. You don't see anybody in politics ever taking responsibility. You don't see anybody in leadership taking responsibility or accountability for their actions, saying that they've made mistakes and they can be better and they should do better. It's why we're in this, and we get in these Twitter battles and these wars, and you have people standing up for people who shouldn't be stood up for. I don't care what the color of their skin is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you made a mistake. Own it.
I do want to point out, I mean, Magoo's right here. The plagiarism was always there. It's been there for a long time. It's only because she didn't speak out strong enough to pro-Palestinian supporters. Mm. And that is true. That's why this happened.
Yeah.
It's that there was already, I don't know if people already knew about the plagiarism. I think I saw something about
the other way.
Yeah. It's true that it's because of this congressional hearing. There was a question asked if it was against Harvard's code of conduct to call for genocide of Israelis or Jews or something like that. And she said it depends on the context. And honestly, I think that was a fine answer. I'm not upset at any of them for their answers that they gave. I want them to apply their rules evenly to everyone. That if there was the same mob saying the same thing about black people that were saying the same thing about Jews or whatever, that they would treat those things equally, you know. But I'm more of a free speech person on campus, that those protesters should be able to protest and say the things that they want to say. Now, they shouldn't be able to impede other students' travel or threaten other students' lives or anything like that, but you should be able to protest. By the way, if you miss class for going to protest, you should get zeros in the class. How do these kids have so much time to... You're at Harvard? You're telling me that Harvard's not hard enough that you just got all this time to go and protest and stuff? Mm-hmm. Who's got this time?
Yeah.
They need more homework, man. Yeah. Kids these days. I got to go in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Kendi says, he continues on, when a racist mob attacks a black person, it finds a seemingly legitimate reason. Seemingly legitimate.
Yeah.
Breaking your own institution's rules.
This is literally a fireable offense.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, we have this club. You want to join it? It's like, you just got to follow these rules.
Yeah.
You want to be in this club? Sure. Can I lead the club? You can. You just have to follow the rules.
And you got to kick out other people who don't follow these rules.
Exactly. But then when you don't follow the rules, it's a seemingly legitimate reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For the attack that allows for it to acquire popular support and credibility, and which allows the growing mob to deny they are attacking the person in this way because the person is black. Most people are not. Now, I will say there are probably some people attacking Claudine Gay because she's black, and those people are wrong for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are not attacking this person at all. They're attacking what she did, which was wrong. And then also, I'm only upset about this because she won't take any accountability for it.
The rest of
I don't even care that she did something wrong. We all do wrong things, as I went on an entire box of soap about.
There's
suds everywhere.
There are people who are attacking her because she's black, not because they are racist and they hate black people. I'm going to read it. It's hilarious. Not because they're racist and they hate black people. There are some attacking her because they're racist and they hate black people. The other people attacking her because she's black are attacking her because they are assuming she's a DEI hire who is only running the biggest university because she is a black woman. It's a fair assumption. I don't have a lot of proof behind it, but because of the world that we live in, it's a fair assumption to make. And so people are seeing this opportunity. Oh, we have a potential DEI hire here who's broken all the rules. People look the other way. There's a way that we can get this person knocked out of their chair. Okay. And yes, a hilarious comment in the group from Big Gus said they pulled her over for anti-Semitism and found 10 kilos of plagiarism in the trunk. It's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I really got to go. We gotta end it.
Oh, enough gay for today.
Yeah, I can't take anymore.
So is this now, instead of White Pill Wednesday, it's going to be Gay Wednesday?
Sure.
All right.
I was keeping in line, doing a happy show on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
You know?
I like happy shows. All right, if you enjoyed today's gay episode, then share it around and be gay and merry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Marry the gays.
Just keep in mind, this is what happens when you anger the Zionists, okay? There's always strings that can be pulled,
yeah. You
know? Joking, of course. I've got no proof of that fact. It's just something Kanye texted to me.
Mm-hmm. Nate and I are working on a lot of stuff. We got some cool potential radio stuff coming up. We've got now a TikTok shop added on our TikTok. So if you're following us on TikTok, go check that out. We are able to, we're going to have our own stuff on there, but we're also able to highlight other people's stuff on there. And if you want to support the show, get some cool stuff, we earn a commission off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ashamed to say that. It's another way to support the show, get some cool stuff. So go check out the TikTok shop, check out our shop, goodmorningliberty.us or godhatesfeds.com. Share the show, leave a rating and review, do all those things. Nate has to go. So I love you and hate you at the same time. And we'll be back tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
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 So until then, I hope you have a good day or a bad day. But always a good morning, Liberty.